The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on whatever you'd like to talk about, as long as it's your health. Give me a call at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk about the things that are, you know, on your mind, things that have to do with your health. You've had problems, and many of you have tried all kinds of things, and not anything that's been really successful, right? Well, here's an opportunity. Let's see if I can point you in a little different direction and get your attention on several things that are of interest today as well. You know, it's been one of those weeks. It's been a crazy week with weather. It's been a good day. It's been a wet day. It's been, you know, damp day, and today we got wet and damp out there again. It brings about sickness, and people do not do very well when they go from one extreme of temperature to another. It shocks the body, and the body goes into a fight-flight reaction, if you will. But the problem is that so many people don't have the platform, meaning the physical wherewithal, to be able to sustain themselves through these ups and downs when it comes to weather. And not only that, you know, some days we have sunshine and some days we don't. And today, obviously, we don't have a whole lot of sunshine out there. And that deprives us of vitamin D and the stimulation of the pineal gland, which is very important into the orchestration, if you will, of many other different hormonal pathways within the system. So we wonder why we get sick. I mean, we're going to kind of touch on several things today. We're going to touch a little bit on drugs, too, and the effect, the impact financially and socially that it has on the system. We're going to talk a little bit about spinal scoliosis. And have you ever thought, you know, where your spinal curvature came from? You know, sometimes it's juvenile idiopathic, and that means that a young child under the age generally of, you know, 13, 14 comes up with a spinal curvature, idiopathic. I like to say idiot, but idiopathic really means we don't know where it came from. It's just kind of out of the blue. So I'm not pointing fingers on that one like I usually do, but nevertheless, it's an unknown thing. Well, it's really known, except that we don't look at the triggering mechanisms. Those of you, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. Those of you who read my book, there was a piece in the Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself program about a young girl who had a very profound scoliosis, and there was a trigger, and the trigger was dental work. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today as well. So a lot of different things, but I want to talk about your thing. So 888-630-9625. Those of you who have not had the opportunity to peruse, if you will, through our website, and peruse means to study, not just to look at, right? To really go in and take a look at it. But if you go into rozellecare.com, that's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com, rozellecare.com, you're going to see a very interesting first page. There's all kinds of things that are available there for you. Not only the listing of all of our upcoming in-house continuing education programs, with one coming up on March the 7th, and we're going to be talking about monitoring your treatment process through thermographic imaging. Very fascinating program that will be, and it's going to be given by Dareth Painter. We'll talk about that as probably next week. Actually, next week she'll be on the program with me. There's a introductory to our office, and you get to see yours truly there talking about everything that goes on. But here's a very interesting piece that we try to keep in front of you all the time. We have a video library, and these videos are our in-house continuing education programs that we've done in the past. There's one there right now on hypertension, and the hypertension program, it's about an hour long, is being given by Dr. Stephanie Pina, Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine, and it's really excellent. It runs about an hour and 17 minutes, but it's going to talk to you about all the ins and outs, if you will, or the ups and downs of hypertension and what you can do about it. This is a program that you can watch online. You don't even have to come into the office. It's right there for you. So go check it out, rozellecare.com, and click that video. And that's really what I wanted to tell you about. So go in, look at it, check it, listen to it, see what you can do to help yourself. in the privacy of your own home. You know, I've been talking to patients all over the country and doctors all over the country, and one of the topics that I lecture on extensively is how the brain functions neurochemically. I just came back from the Florida Chiropractic Physicians Association, about 1,000 people down there, and these guys are very brilliant, and it's the Chiropractic Physicians Association throughout the country, about 35,000 people that are members of this thing. Both chiropractic, his name's a little misguided. There's physicians of all sorts that belong to this organization. And I was talking about Alzheimer's and what really goes on with this dramatically increased incident of Alzheimer's. And Alzheimer's disease, in the traditional medical arena, there's no real treatment or cure. And the estimates are something in the neighborhood of up to 6 million people in this country. And the projection by the next 30 years, that if it continues at the rate it is, it's going to triple. So we're going to be looking at about 15 to 18 million people that will have advanced Alzheimer's within the next 20 to 30 years. What's causing that? What's really going on? So we look at, you know, everybody's looking under the rock and they're trying to look at, is it lifestyle? Is it exercise and sleep? Is it exposures? Are we just becoming a society that's more exposed to these types of things? Well, we know that there's some genetic triggers, right? And there's these gene traits called APOE4, and they raise your lifetime risk for Alzheimer's between 30 and 50%. So does that mean that you're destined to come up with dementia, that you're not going to know what to do with your anything that's around you, won't recognize anybody? Not necessarily. Excuse me. Somehow my voice disappeared. Anyway, not necessarily. The risk has to do with a lot of other things, not just your genetic predisposition. It has to do with carbohydrate metabolism, and it has to do with sugar, and it has to do with stress patterns and so forth. So let's talk about that a little bit. You know, we look at diet all the time, except we look at diet that we want to drop weight. We have to look at diet from a point of view of what is going to support metabolic pathways, particularly the brain. We're learning that the brain really is the master control switch of everything that goes on in the body. That whether you have chronic pain, or whether you have immunological reactions, or whether you have demented patterns you can't really understand and assess and be able to move forward based on your evaluation processes, all of these things have to do with brain function and brain neurochemistry. So Alzheimer's disease is intricately connected to what we call an insulin resistance. You've heard about the, you know, type 2 diabetes is an insulin resistant pattern. Well, what they're saying is this situation with Alzheimer's, and also extending into Parkinson's, is a type 3 diabetes. It works just the same way. So they're seeing more and more information that is leading to just that. Alzheimer's disease, for which traditional medicine really has no effective treatment or cure, we're talking about huge numbers of people, right? That we just said, you know, in several years it's going to be up to about 18 million people. There's about 6 million right now. The good news when it comes to dementia and it comes to Alzheimer's is that lifestyle choices, diet, exercise, sleep, learning how to do things, rewiring your brain, if you will, learning how to do the new things can prevent, put off, make a difference, and restore and actually reverse the dementia that comes along from Alzheimer's, but is also what they call old age or adult later on onset dementia, or, you know, forgetfulness, right? So there's going to be a lot of drugs out there. There's going to be a lot of different things, but what can you do, and what, you know, what can, because people are petrified. They are totally petrified. They're going to lose their brains, their minds. They're not going to be able to function. And there's a lot of ways, by the way, of measuring these things. It can be very, there's tests that are very predictable. We use one in the office, and in conjunction with this test and also neurological patterns and so forth, we begin to see an unfolding that occurs. But let's talk about a little bit of what goes on with this diabetic thing that I just mentioned, this type 3 diabetes. You know, even a mild elevation in blood sugar can be associated with increased risk of dementia of all sorts. Diabetes and heart disease are also known to increase your risk. But guess what? They also have to do with this veil, if you will, this inability to transport things across membranes in your body. So we really have to begin to pick it apart and find out what is really going on. What's the connection here? The connection between sugar and Alzheimer's was noticed, probably about 15 years ago, maybe not quite, about 2005. And then it was dubbed this type 3 diabetes. And, you know, researchers discovered that the brain produces insulin necessary for your brain cells to survive, right? So it makes sense. The brain needs sugar. So a toxic protein, and that protein is basically called ADDL, it takes insulin, it removes the insulin receptors from the nerves. As a result, these neurological end plates, these neurons, become insulin resistant. And these proteins, these ADDLs, you can look them up, accumulate and your brain begins to break down and deteriorate. So that's where it begins to go. So we have to begin to weave in and out of what really is going on. Why is there this insulin resistance, this receptor site resistance that occurs? And it has to do with a lot of things. It has to do with people putting up with chronic things, inflammatory levels. When inflammation in the body gets really high, these receptor sites now become unavailable. And the insulin can't grab the sugar, drag it into the cells where they're needed to work and to function, and the body begins to deteriorate dysfunction. So brain insulin and brain function go hand in hand. And we probably have only begun to really figure this connection out, but it's clinically anecdotal, meaning it's obvious from a clinical standpoint that these things are connected. So if you have chronic pain patterns, if you have chronic health conditions and you're taking medications for it and all you're doing is suppressing the problem, you run a risk of neurological degenerative processes, including Alzheimer's. And there's many others, by the way. So when people don't have enough insulin to transport things through, not only do they end up with problems with diabetes and heart disease, but they can also end up with problems with your brain not working the way it's supposed to, ultimately leading to a condition that we all fear called Alzheimer's. And the thing is that if you get somebody that knows what they're doing when it comes to neurological pathway problems, like my guys in my office, in our nutrition department and so forth, you can begin to see that there's a way of reversing this. And we've seen it in our practice. You know, I mentioned, I think, a program or two ago, we just touched on Alzheimer's a little bit. And there was a nurse that first brought out the idea that there are certain types of fatty acids, particularly medium chain triglycerides, MCTs, that are found in coconut and coconut oil, that allows this whole process to become reversible. And it's really amazing when you understand that you can begin to not only protect somebody from moving into an Alzheimer pattern, but there's a lot of clinical studies that are now showing that it is fully responsible. You know, there's a guy by the name of Dr. Sam Gandy. He's director of Center of Cognitive Health at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. And he's really on the cutting edge of all this stuff. But there's tons of people out there that are really showing you, take control of your health. Because it's in your hands, you can reverse almost everything. You know, this is a program that we can talk about, like, you know, for days. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roszell Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roszell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roszell Live in studio. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Let's talk about your things today and things that we can make better for you and put you in a direction that you may not have thought about. This is why we do the program, by the way, is to give you a different look at what's going on in your health and wellness. And, you know, sometimes we just kind of, well, you know, what do I expect from my age? Well, you know, it's the way things are. Not so much, you know, when you realize that health is a do-it-yourself program, and you are the captain of the ship. You just have to learn what it is that you need to do and not take some pill on an ongoing basis because somebody said take this for the rest of your life. Nothing makes me crazier than, you know, the traditional approach, if you will, of, you know, take two aspirin and call me in the morning type of idea when there's so much that you can do to optimize and maximize your body's health. Talking a little bit about Alzheimer's today, and I want to finish up this part of the program before we go into some other things that you need to know about and answering your questions. We said a little bit that there's a APOE4 allele, and there's actually two of them. And if you have one, your risk is about 30% of developing Alzheimer's, and not necessarily so, by the way. And if you have two of them, you have both of them, then your risk goes up to about 50%. So there's a way of finding that out. There's a test that's now being developed, and most of your physicians should know how to get that test, and it's pretty accurate, you know, in its predictability. But having said that, it doesn't mean that you are destined to have the problem. You know, actually, after you take everything and put it aside, the estimates really suggest that about, you know, genetics account for about 5% of all Alzheimer's cases. So we go out and freak out, oh my God, oh my God, and we're going out, we're doing things like 23andMe and some other tests out there that expose this allele for this APOE4. And just because you got it doesn't mean you're going to get it. And there's so many things you can do to make a difference. As a matter of fact, most dementia conditions and problems are old age processes, and they're due to the body breaking down and not having enough of things like coenzyme Q10 and vitamin D and B12 and the methylated form of B12 and folic acid for transport. And, you know, those are things. And by the way, as a society, we eat too many refined proteins. You know, there's a study out there now that is showing that every protein either has to be utilized or stored. And if you don't utilize it because you can't break it down, or your body doesn't have all the other transport mechanisms to get it into the system, then you're going to store it. Guess what you're going to store it as? Fat. And guess what fat does? It converts into sugar at some point. So there's that look at the situation as well. So we have to look at, you know, what can we do to increase the burn rate, get rid of the pain patterns, get the body to function at a much higher level so these things don't happen over a period of many years. So what can you do, right? Well, the thing with it is you want to keep your fasting insulin levels low. You don't want them to jack up. Your fasting insulin levels should be under 100. And, you know, if your blood sugars, your fasting insulin levels should be below 3. And if it's too high, you're really probably consuming way too much sugar, and you need to start cutting back. You need high levels of omega fatty acids. The animal fatty acids are the best free-range organic omega-3 fatty acids from animal sources, not vegetable sources. You got to make sure your gut's working. You have to have optimal flora in your intestinal tract. You have to make sure that your vitamin D levels are high. What's your target? On a range, you know, the laboratories are out there and they're going from 30 to 100. What's the range it should be? Your target range should be between 75 and 85. And these guys are telling you that if it's above 30, you're okay. Not so much. It needs to be in the high ends for you to have good stuff. Intermittent fasting, you take a day and you don't eat, except for waters for about 20 hours. And you can do this once a month. You don't have to do it every week or every day. It causes your body to begin to repair, burn fat, and it drops down the insulin resistance that's in the system, particularly as it relates to dementia problems and Alzheimer's. You know, move around, go get some exercise, move constantly. Don't sit at your desk all day long. Go move. And then optimize your magnesium levels. Magnesium is critical to the brain. If you don't have enough magnesium, and by the way, most of you, 80% of you, are magnesium deficient. And most of you are vitamin D deficient. You've got to get those levels up. Got to avoid mercury-containing foods, shrimp and crab and lobsters and so forth. They should be occasional. I mean, you can eat them, but you got to detoxify from them. And avoid aluminum completely from your body. And you can look up these stuff. The flu vaccine, you know, in my opinion, is one of the worst things that you can put in your body because it has high levels of mercury and aluminum. Avoid, you know, statins, you know, the things that have dropped cholesterol down. There's other ways of doing this. Let us help you. We're coming up to that break, and we want to take your phone calls. You can reach me here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Got a lot of interesting things for you today, so don't go away. Tell everybody we're on the air. and we'll come right back after some very, very important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Let's go through your stuff today and see what we can do to help you. Let's go to the phones. Mary, thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Thank you so much. I was wondering about the recent addition of Coumadin as a medication, noticing that it raises blood pressure coincidentally after taking it. Also wondered what its relationship was, if any, to dementia. But the high blood pressure really is problematic, and wonder if that is actually a cause of it.
Well, Mary, there's a lot more to worry about than just high blood pressure with Coumadin. Coumadin is rat poison. And what it does is it causes you to bleed internally. So people who are on any of the blood thinners, but particularly Coumadin, what you begin to see is bruising throughout the skin. And when that happens on the skin surface, you can almost guarantee that it's happening inside as well. If you go back, this goes back several years ago, and I think it was 2011. I don't remember the month. It was in the fall. New England Journal of Medicine said that most emergency hospital visits for older people were caused by side effects of overdosing of all kinds of blood thinners, but particularly Coumadin. And, you know, there's other drugs that have come out now, like Eliquis and so forth. And then you have to watch with the type of things that you're taking, but it can cause increase of bleeding of the stomach and aches and pains, and it does increase your blood pressure and so forth. But the last part is minimum. Now, there are other things that you can do instead of taking Coumadin and Eliquis and so forth, but it has to be done with a physician. There's a lot of functional medicine cardio guys that are out there right now that are using things like turmeric and ginger and garlic and vitamin E and omega fatty acids. And by the way, just increasing water, plain, simple water is perhaps the best blood thinner available, because most people are dehydrated. You know, when you're dehydrated, your blood thickens and it causes things to clump together and form clots. And so when you have this blood that's, you know, so thick and so forth, it's going to cause some problems. So, you know, you have to drink a minimum of a half an ounce of water for each pound of body weight if you want your blood to stay thin. There are other things like vitamin B6 and D. You want to keep your system very alkaline, and you can do that with apple cider vinegar and strawberries, but you got to change your diet too. You got to get the stuff out of your body that's causing, you know, these problems. So blood pressure problems are only one of the things that can come about from Coumadin. Coumadin is a very dangerous drug, and there's more and more physicians out there that are moving away from it. Dr. He put out a really good article, and I can't remember, it was some years ago, and he was talking about Coumadin and the dangers. Actually, he was talking about Coumadin and Plavix, because Plavix has been out that long as well, and telling you exactly what was happening. And he said, and if I can remember, he actually said that taking these drugs are potentially fatal, and they can cause any underlying conditions to be much more dangerous than doing things that are easy. But, and then he also went into things about fish oils and vitamin E and vasodilators like niacin and things of that nature. But I would encourage you to find someone who really gets this, really understands that, Mary, and do what you can, if you know, and have them guide you to get off of Coumadin. And particularly the only time that you take any of these things, and for a period of time, even Plavix, if somebody has had a surgery and, you know, they've had a new valve put in, or they've had bypass surgery and so forth, and they want to be very careful. They're going now, they're putting these screens in the coronary arteries to try to catch clots. Well, you know, if you clear the body up, the screens actually will cause problems later on. They will cause clots to accumulate. So now you got it there. Now you have no flow. Again, this is something we can talk about the rest of the program today, but please be very, very careful and find somebody that can help you. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. The nutrition department in our practice can also guide you. They can also help tell you what needs to be done and what other patterns are there. Just remember, anything that causes inflammation, any high inflammatory process in the body is going to potentially cause your body to have clotting problems and blood sugar handling problems and pain that doesn't go away and neurological pathways that will not resolve their breakdown. So, you know, take it as something that's, you know, that's going to affect all of us. And it's, if we don't pay attention, this is your hands. It's really in your hands. There's a couple of things I want to bring to your attention that have been out there. You know, we have another scare. It's called colorectal cancer, you know, and it's a multi-million dollar diagnostic fear pattern, right? So you're going to go to your doc and they're going to do Roto-Rooter work on you and they're going to take a look at one end and they're going to see what's there and they're going to have you come back or they find a polyp. So, but yeah, we'll see in about 3-4 years when we do another one. So there's a lot of side effects from doing the colorectal, as you will, investigation. There's some things out there that I think that you need to consider. Cologuard is a non-invasive process, and if you haven't had any history of, you know, severe early onset colon cancers in your family and, you know, your diet's not terrible, Cologuard is probably one of the best alternatives you can get. Your physicians can get it for you. It's really straight up. Your GI guys won't order it for you simply because it takes money out of their pockets. It's an inexpensive test, but it's there. But colorectal cancer, you know, is the third most common cancer that affects both men and women and second leading cause of cancer-related deaths in the United States. So we have to take control of our health and know the options that we have. So how do you prevent colorectal cancer besides having them do Roto-Rooter work on you and take a look? It's change your diet. You know, get rid of all the soft carbohydrates and the sugars and the garbage and the refined proteins and all the junk that you're putting in your system. Do that first. Quit plugging up the system. Quit irritating the tissue. And you'll find just doing that. But we're talking about 50,000 deaths a year that are attributable to colorectal cancer. And, you know, just doing, you know, an investigative examination is not going to prevent it. They're going to say, oh, we caught it early. And if we go in and we take a little bit of the tissue out, you're going to be good to go. Or we can do this procedure and that. But how about just changing your lifestyle? How about just making a difference in what you do? You know, in the past year, findings have been published on something very simple. It's called green tea and the effect that it has on colorectal cancer. It's amazing. There was a report that was published in 2017 and talks about 29 separate studies that were done on 1.6 million people. And what they showed was that green tea consumption is associated with protection against colorectal cancer. It drops your risk 7-9% overall. Just doing that, having a cup of green tea a day. Isn't that cool? I'm sitting here having a cup of green tea right now. You know, the second finding showed that among female green tea drinkers, every cup of green tea consumed decreased their risk, just their risk, women, 32%. This is not bad. These are easy things that you can do. So you clean up your diet and you start drinking a little green tea and you can begin to see things get less riskier for you. Isn't that cool, right? And, you know, so they also supplemented animals with, you know, certain types of polyphenols that were extracts from green tea. And what they saw that tumors would actually shrink in these animals. So I don't know about you, but, you know, if something as simple as drinking a cup of green tea can make a difference in, you know, my elimination system so I don't have to worry as much about cancer, you bet your life I'm going to drink it. I actually drink probably about 3 to 4 to 5 cups of green tea a day all day long, and in addition to that is water. So, you know, take control of your life. Do something that you can do on your own, something that you don't have to spend, you know, tons of time and money. This is something that you can do. Wouldn't it be great? And it's very well documented. You know, there's studies out there that are huge that are showing that green tea polyphenols and, you know, inhibit colorectal cancers. And not only that they inhibit them, but they can reverse them. And they've done this in laboratory settings. So what are you waiting for? Go buy some green tea. It's like craziness, right? This last month or so has kind of been one of those weird months where certain things show up in the practice that, you know, we've treated many over the years, and all of a sudden a whole bunch show up. And this month I've been seeing a whole lot of scoliosis patients, you know, spinal curvature, both juvenile idiopathic, meaning, you know, young people, then they don't know why it happens, or older adults that suddenly show up with a spinal curvature, and there's been no trauma. Well, there has been a trauma, but most physicians aren't going to check the why behind the trauma. So what's the why behind the trauma? The trauma has to do with dental positioning. Every tooth in your mouth has a relationship to organ systems and to spinal system, period, end of story. So whether it's your incisors, your vampire teeth, or it's, you know, the back molars, they all have a different relationship to different areas of the body. So, for example, a young girl came in this about a month ago, and there's been several, by the way, but this has been kind of an interesting situation. She, you know, has, you know, a great family, and there's no history of scoliosis, and often you see, you know, there are more scoliosis throughout the family. In this situation, there was none. So she's about, you know, 12, 13 years old, and she has a 31-degree spinal curvature, which is huge. It's significant. And the only thing that took place that may have triggered this was dental bracing. She went to the orthodontist, and she had braces put on. And when I checked her bite of her temporomandibular joint, the dimension between the upper and lower portion of the TMJ saddle, it was off and inhibited, weakened, if you will, every muscle test that we did with her. And then when we gapped it, when we spaced it, and we spaced it very specifically, all the muscle strengthening on testing returned. So do I know this to have happened? I've seen it in practice multiple times over the years. Matter of fact, as I said, if you read my book, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program, there's a story in there about a young girl who had dental braces on and had a beautiful spine. She was an athlete. And then 3 months later, I saw her with a 28-degree curve. And fortunately, you can begin to turn and reverse these things, but you have to then work with somebody who understands neurological dentistry. But in addition to that, also understands muscle function, and with chiropractic care, with applied kinesiological care, you can balance that system and begin to reverse the process. I do an ongoing program with dentists, and I try to teach them this stuff because they have the opportunity to see into your health in some situations sooner and more predictively than any other physician, because your health shows up in your mouth. So when you see distortions in teeth, when you see the gum lines change, when you see the tongue get grooves and ridges, when you see, you know, increase of blood supply or lack of blood supply or whitening or plaquing or fissuring, all those things tell you something about the health of the person. So when and unfortunately, so much of this is new news, if you will, to many dental practitioners out there. Not that they're bad guys. They just haven't been exposed to it. That's not the way the dental education is cut. So you have to make sure that when you go to dentist, I drive my dentist crazy, by the way. When I go in, and if he does anything where he has to put that, you know, that silly carbon paper in my mouth, and he goes, you know, chomp down it and grind and so forth, I do it sitting or I do it standing. I will not allow him to do it while I'm lying on my back. Why? Because when you're doing that, your jaw goes backwards. It drops posterior. Now, the dimension of your upper and lower jaw is no longer where it should be, even when he says, here, you know, clench down, because you're clenching abnormally at that point. And when they grind down the teeth or the filling or the cap or the whatever they put in there, now it's not going to fit properly. And you have to make sure that that fits exactly right, because if you don't, that temporomandibular joint, being one of the most profound neurological pieces in the body, is going to have an effect that is, in many cases, unless you get to somebody who knows what they're doing, unreversible. And now your health breaks down, you have body pain, you have headaches, your eyes begin to lose function, but more importantly, your structural components are shifted. So you have to be able to identify it properly, and you have to be able to shift it. But we're seeing dramatically increased cases between preteens, 10 and 12 year olds, and then others later on, because we're seeing adults now with all kinds of braces. You know, it's a cool thing. Let's go get my teeth fixed, right? 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything. We've got a little bit of time left. We're going to come up to a break pretty quickly, and then we'll come back. But there's a study that was published, by the way, just to, you know, to kind of finish this up, in the Journal of Chiropractic Medicine, involved about 30 diagnosed scoliosis, and each of these people received very specific treatment, both chiropractically and also dentally. And what they found is that the 80% of them turned everything around 100%. Isn't that cool? That's amazing. When you know that can be done, why wouldn't you? 888-630-9625. I want to remind you again to go to RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com, RoselleCare.com. And check out the website. As we said, there's a whole lot of things there for you. There's a video, an hour and 17-minute video, online video, that you can watch at your leisure. And it's on hypertension, blood pressure problems. It has been given by Dr. Stephanie Pina, the naturopathic physician. And it's loaded with information and very usable information, something that, you know, you can apply and do like right now, immediately. So go check it out. I think you'll find it fascinating. And pay attention to the other programs that we have. They're all there for you. That's why we do them. We're called in-house continuing education programs. You're our guest when you come, and there's no charge for these. We just require a reservation. But this one is online. You don't have to go anywhere. You can see it right there. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live. Don't go away. We will be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizal. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal Live in this rainy Washington day. Nevertheless, we're here for you, as we are always, every Sunday, 12 noon, and you do the math wherever you are, Eastern Seaboard. We're right now, right present at 12 o'clock. I want to thank all of our folks out there defending us, all our military that listen in, and from Armed Forces Radio, and they also get in on the Internet, probably more so than anything else, and we keep getting amazing questions, and I say, how do you know about us? But I thank you anyway, and we appreciate it, and thank you very much for your service. We have several more calls. We'll try to take one or two. Pat, can I help you? Patricia? Patricia?
Let me say, yes, I'm a vegetarian, and I was listening about the Alzheimer's, and you said to take omega-3 fatty acids, so do I use a substitute for the acid?
You can do a substitute, Patricia, but it's not, they're not as effective as the krill or fish oils. There's barrage oil, flaxseed oil. You can use those, but again, in reversing medium chain triglycerides, coconut oil is something that you can use as well. But the combination is usually the ones that are there. So if you're not going to do that, I would do a lot of olive oils, pure olive oil, pure coconut oil. I would make sure that you're getting flax. I would make sure that you're getting borage oil and so forth. That's probably going to, you know, going to help you a lot. But again, as far as levels of effectiveness, the most effective oils are the fish oils and the krill and so forth. So having said that, use those, and I'm, you know, as long as you don't have, and you're exercising and you're watching your diet and your sugar levels are very low, and you're learning something all the time, which means that you're constantly challenging your brain. The brain is plastic. It can be reformatted. The brain will grow new tissue. We didn't think that was true over the years, but now we know that it is true. And so as long as you continue to, you know, to learn something, not just reading for, you know, for pleasure reading, but trying to really learn something, you'll stimulate your brain and use those things that we just talked about, but keep the sugars at a low level.
What about the magnesium? My mother had Alzheimer's and passed from that.
Well,
so I'm really concerned.
Well, again, I wouldn't be too concerned. Remember what I said? You can, if you have the genetic predisposition, you won't know that until you did the allele test and the ApoE4 is what you're looking for. And there's two different types. And if you have one, you got about 30% chance of a risk level. You have 50% chance if you have both. But in both situations, we know now through epigenetics that those can be blunted or completely eliminated. It's what's being found out now with brain neurochemistry is amazing. You know, I spoke last week at a conference in Florida, as I said earlier on. I had about 120 doctors in my class, and I said, listen, if you're not telling your patients that they can control this and change virtually everything that's going on, you're doing them a disservice. So you want to make sure that pain patterns are non-existent. You want to get those treated if they're there. You want to make sure, and not with drugs, but you want to find out what the cause is. You want to make sure the dietary patterns are very supportive, have adequate amount of proteins. Make sure that you have enough water in the diet. Make sure you're getting high levels of vitamin D. Check your vitamin D levels, your target levels, 75 to 80. So there's so much that you can, and making sure that your omega fatty acids are, you know, two grams to 3 grams every day. DHA levels, taurine, magnesium. The best one, as far as a general broad brush, is going to be your magnesium glycinate. The side effect of too much magnesium is going to give you loose stool. So I wouldn't worry too much about that, but get to somebody that can make a difference. And if we can help you, please reach out to us. We're more than happy to do that for you. You know, this is a subject that we really could talk about all day long, because there's so much there when it comes to the brain. And we're understanding that, you know, the brain controls pain patterns, brain controls cognitive function, brain can either eliminate or potentiate degenerative disease within the body. It's an amazing new arena, and, you know, we're all going back to school on it and learning, you know, and you have to just make sure you get the real answers. This type 3 diabetes that affects Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, it's a fearful situation. We need to know that we can control it, and you can. We're coming up to that end of the program where I have to say adieu to next week. I love you all. Bye.